Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your words. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my tastes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift of your word, and thank you also for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Without your Holy Spirit, we would never be able to understand your words. We would never be changed by your word. And so we ask this morning that you would please send your Spirit to shed light on the pages of your word and into the darkest parts of our hearts. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Before Rhys and I got married, I'm just looking for a... Where is she? Hello. Before my wife and I got married, there was a time where we both lived in South London, but a few miles apart. And so I used to go and visit Rhys on my bike, cycling through a park called Richmond Park. Anyone been to Richmond Park before? Yeah. That was on my way. Rhys lived just the other side of Richmond Park, so that was on my journey there and back. On one occasion, it was only when I left in the evening that I realised I had forgotten my bike lights. Now, normally in South London, that's not really a problem because there's plenty of street lights everywhere, but not in Richmond Park. Are you okay, Liz? Let's pause for a second and help Liz out. There you go. Good to go? That's good. Settle down nice and comfy so you can have a good little doze. So, normally in South London, you don't need your bike lights. This is a really bright one, actually. And normally you don't need this one with you because there's plenty of street lights. But if you know Richmond Park, you'll know that even though there is a main road running through the park, there are no lights at all. And it really is. I was surprised at how pitch black it was, even in the middle of London. As I cycled along that road really carefully and cautiously, I really could almost see absolutely nothing in front of me. And I was just hoping that no car was going to come and take me out. But then as I rode, out of the corner of my eye, about 50 metres in that direction, I saw a bunch of dancing lights. And I realised that parallel to this main road was a cycle track. And on the cycle track were a bunch of cyclists who had not forgotten their lights that night. And so I made the decision to cut across the grass and move towards the light when, bang, I flew off my bike. Now, thankfully, the only thing that was injured was my pride, as I must have hit some sort of root or tree stump or branch on the grass in front of me that I just could not see without my bike lights. I learnt that evening, I'm not going to turn this on again because I think I dazzled a few of you. It's actually incredibly bright, but I will point it at the ceiling. There you go. I learnt that evening that a light is really useful. Light shows you the way to go. With a bright light, you can clearly see which way is good and fine and easy and clear, which way is bad, and therefore you can make a good decision about which way you should go. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105, where we landed there. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. It's a very simple image. God's word, the Bible, gives us guidance. It helps us to see which way we should go. It helps us to make good choices that are going to be glorifying to God and good for us. Maybe some of us this morning are facing big decisions in life. All of us are going to be facing lots of little decisions every single day. How are we supposed to know which way we should go in any given situation? How are we supposed to know what is going to honour God and please Him? What is the way that He would have us go? Well, the psalmist says, your word is a lamp. It is a light on my path, a lamp for my feet. How? How is God's word like a light? How does it shed light? In what ways does God's word give us all that we need to make good decisions? How does it give us that wisdom, that insight, that guidance? Well, let me rattle through a few, before we dive into the text itself, let me just rattle through a few ways in which God's word is like a bright light. And don't worry if you don't get all of this, but my idea is just to give you a sense of the various ways in which God's word gives us guidance in the world. The first way that God's word sheds light is that it acts as something of a yardstick. It gives us this unchanging reference point by which we can understand and assess and measure everything else that's going on in the world. We live in a rapidly changing world, don't we? Where even the concept of right and wrong are sort of fluid things. Everyone seems to have their own definition of what's good and what's bad. But the Bible gives us something different. The Bible gives us an absolute truth. It plainly sets out for us an unchanging framework by which we can understand everything else that is going on. And if you don't have that, if you don't have that objective reality, then it can get very confusing. Everyone listening on the front row, boys? You listening? Make sure you write on your sheet. That's going to be the best place to make notes rather than your skin. All right. Without this as an objective reality, everything else can become very confusing. Now think about our society. It seems, wouldn't you agree? It seems that in our society, right and wrong tends to be defined by your own inner conviction. It tends to be about what you think is right and wrong. And it's defined by society's norms. So what people generally accept to be true or to be okay. The problem with that, if you define right and wrong in those ways, that's shifting sand. And shifting sand is very dangerous. Because there have been lots of times across history, lots of places in the world, where individuals or societies have done truly evil things because they thought it was okay, or they themselves had this idea that it was all right. I think we see some of this filtering into our own society, where the killing of unborn babies is not only accepted, not only promoted, but celebrated. That wasn't the case before. Well, we see it in the craziness that there is around the whole topics of sexuality and gender. When the world is changing and where right and wrong are kind of not fixed things, how are we ever supposed to know which way is the right way to go? But God's word sheds light because in God's word, He gives us an objective reality outside of ourselves. Something that never changes. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is living and enduring. And it sheds light. Helps us to understand what's going on in our world. Here's another way that God's word is like light, or it sheds light. It's like an instruction manual. This is an instruction manual. It seems to have some sort of berry juice on it. That's interesting. The instruction manual is for a toaster, a Russell Hobbs toaster. You know how an instruction manual works, even if you've never read one. But the idea is that Russell Hobbs has told me how to make the best use of my toaster. All right? It tells me, if I've never seen a toaster before, it would give me what I need to use it rightly and correctly and make the most of it. I could use my toaster as a television, but it wouldn't be very interesting. Or I could use my toaster as a hammer, but it probably wouldn't end well either for the nail or for the hammer. You see, the instruction manual gives you everything you need to know. The creator itself has told you what you need to know to make the most of what you've got. And so it is with God's word. God is the creator. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus, all things were made by him and for him. That means that everything, he gets to decide how things work best. And he has revealed that to us in his instruction manual. He has revealed to us how to make the most of our bodies, how to make the best of our lives. He gives us light by showing us the way that we should go. It's not the only way. Here's another way that God's word sheds light. God's word is like a script which helps to place us in our story. So imagine again for a moment that you wake up. But when you wake up, you realise you're not in your own bed. You're not even on a seat at church. You wake up and you realise that you're actually in a West End theatre. But to your shock and to your horror, you're not in the seats. You're actually on the stage. And everyone's looking at you. And you realise that somehow, without your knowledge, you have become part of the show. But the problem is, you have no idea what the show is called. You have no idea what's going on. You have no idea who your character is. You have no idea what you're supposed to be doing. So what do you need to do? You need to run backstage and take a look at the script. You need to find whoever the director is and say, could you show me, how does this story start? Where does this story end? And what's my role in it? What am I supposed to be doing? And so it is with the Bible. God has, it says in Ephesians 1, I think it is. Let me check that reference. It says in Ephesians 1, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. So he has shown us what the story is. He has revealed to us what he is doing on the grand scale of creation for his glory. He has revealed to us the mystery of his will. So that as we, as it were, wake up on stage, as we find ourselves in this world, as we look around and try to work out why we are here, what is life all about, God has given us the story. He has shown us where we fit and what we should do. God's word is a script which places us in our own story. Imagine turning up for work, your first day at a new job, but you've never met your boss. You don't know what your job description is, and you're not even sure what the company exists for. It would be very hard in those circumstances to do a good job that would please your boss. And so again, we are not left without any information. God has revealed himself to us in his word. In his word, we can see who he is, what his will is, and therefore where we fit into that. These are all just ways that God's word gives us insight and understanding, so that when we find ourselves trying to work out which way to go, all of these things help to give us light in those situations. It's not the only thing. There's more. God's word is also like an X-ray. Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Have you ever got to that situation in your life where you just don't even really understand yourself? You're like, where did that come from? What's going on in there? I wish I could see. God's word sheds light on ourselves. It is like an X-ray by which we can see what's really going on inside. But it's more than an X-ray, it's also like a pair of glasses, because it doesn't just show us what's going on inside, it also helps us to see the world more clearly. And it's like the Star of Bethlehem, because if we follow the light of God's word, do you know where it ends? It always leads us to our Saviour. So these are the various ways that God's word is like light. It helps us to understand where we stand in the whole story of history. It helps us to understand where we stand when it comes to questions of morality. It helps us to understand ourselves. It helps us to understand the world. It helps us to understand our need for a saviour. So in all of these ways, and for all of these reasons, God's word really is like a lamp, a light. And that helps us to do two things. So now we're going to dive into the text itself. But are you with me so far, yeah? God's word is like a bright light. In all of those ways, it helps us to navigate the paths of life by giving us insight and understanding into ourselves and into the world. And that helps us to do two things. The first, let me grab the clicker from over here. The first thing that helps us to do is to walk wisely in God's world. It helps us to walk wisely in God's world. Seth, if you click it on. One. Thank you very much. The light of God's word helps us to walk wisely in God's world. Look at verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Meditate. That's a bit like putting the slow cooker on. You know how... As if I've ever used a slow cooker. I've seen people use a slow cooker. What you have to do is you just chuck something in the morning and then you just leave it simmering away on the back burner all day so that it flavours the very air that you breathe. That's kind of what meditation is. Verse 98. Your words are always with me. Like a catchy song stuck in your head. They make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all of my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. That last phrase is really important. Do you notice what he says? He says, I have more understanding because I know loads of stuff. Is that what he says? No? Is anyone looking at the verse? Have a look again at verse 100. What does he say? I have more understanding because I obey your word. That's really important. In those verses, he talks a lot about understanding and insight and knowledge. But it's not just head knowledge. It gets beyond just knowing the right thing. It's about doing the right thing. Wisdom, in Bible terms, is more than what you know in your head. It's not just what you know in your head. It's not just what you say with your lips. Wisdom is seen in what you do with your hands and with your feet. The psalmist can say, I'm wiser than these other guys, not just because he knows the right stuff, but because he does the right stuff. The light can show you the paths. The light can show you that this path over here is good and it's clear and it's great. It can show you that this path over here is full of poison and traps and all of that bad stuff. The light can show you that, and that's knowledge, but wisdom is not simply knowing which path is which, but choosing then to go down the good path. Do you see the difference? Wisdom always includes obedience and action. Notice how in verse 105... it says, your word is a lamp for my feet, right? Not eyes. Normally you think that light is something that helps your eyes, but the psalmist isn't just wanting to see which way is right. He wants his feet to follow down the right paths. Wisdom is always talking about obedience, not just knowledge. And so through his word, God sheds light on our path so that we can both know the right way and go the right way. And when you know and go, that's wisdom. And that's why the psalmist can say, I've got an advantage. I've got an advantage over these other guys that he mentions. Verse 98, he says, I am wiser than my enemies. I'm wiser than them because I am walking down the right path according to God's word, and they're not. Verse 99 and verse 100, he even says, in fact, look down at those verses. Tell me who he is wiser than.
His teachers.
Elders. And the elders. Now, elders, by the way, is not talking about elders like the leaders of a local church. It's talking about in the society, the people who were older and therefore revered and respected. Those who, the teachers and the elders, are those who were generally thought to have knowledge and wisdom, those who could pass something on to someone else. But the psalmist says, actually, I've got more wisdom and insight and knowledge than them. I've got a secret weapon, the Word of God. The Word of God gives me light, which helps me to understand the world. Do you know, through God's Word, if you have God's Word this morning, and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you are better equipped to make good decisions and to live well in God's world and to be wise in the choices that you make. You are better equipped than any non-Christian, even if that person has a PhD, even if that person is a leader, a politician, if that person is a life... Have you heard of life coaches? Yeah? A friend of mine is or was a life coach. Life coaches are supposed to be able to tell you how to deal with your life. And maybe you feel like, oh, I don't really know how to handle my own life. You are better equipped with the Word of God than non-Christian life coaches or counsellors or tutors or lecturers or anyone who would have conventional wisdom and knowledge and power. Actually, the Bible says we've got so much more than them. If we've got the Word of God, we are better off. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we should never listen to anyone else. Of course, we can gain from common wisdom and common grace. But the Bible should be the grid through which we filter all of those people's opinions and inputs. The Bible, when we're making a decision in life, or when we're seeking advice, the Word of God must be the first and the last place that we go. Because in God's Word, He gives us light to understand the way. You see, this is a really important thing to get. Understanding the Word of God is not about how smart you are. Right, that's why he can make this comparison with these elders and these teachers, these guys with big brains who can understand a lot of stuff and are really smart and intelligent. But he says, actually, I'm better off than them because I've got the Word of God. Understanding the Word of God and therefore how to live in God's way, in God's world, is not about how intelligent you are. Isn't that good news? That's good news for most of us because, you know. Most of us aren't that smart. All right? It's good news because the first couple of chapters of Corinthians make this very clear. In 1 Corinthians, we see that the cross of Jesus simply does not make sense if you are thinking merely in human terms. Your leader dying a humiliating death doesn't seem very strong. Doesn't seem very clever. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 says, "The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." 1 Corinthians 2 verse 8 says, "None of the rulers of this age understood it." The guys who were in the top positions, they didn't understand it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Those who are in charge, those who have power and authority and wisdom, they sometimes just don't get it. Because these things are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God." It is only by the Spirit that we can ever understand that the cross is not foolishness, it's wisdom. That the cross is not weakness, it's power. That it is a good and a wonderful thing that Jesus would die for us. You know, if you're not a Christian, it's really important that you understand this. If you're not yet a Christian, you need to know that you will never understand the things of God, and you will never desire to walk in the ways of God, except for the help of the Holy Spirit. So you need to ask for his help. That's the first step. Ask him to give you understanding. Ask him to change your desires. Ask him to show you Jesus. Ask him to save you. That's how it starts, becoming a Christian. In Luke 10, isn't this is a really cool thing that Jesus said. I hope this, feel free to say an amen or a hallelujah or something. This is a wonderful thing, okay? In Luke 10, Jesus says, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." Isn't that good?
Amen.
Thanks, Gareth. I knew you'd give me an amen. Don't be unsettled by the fact that lots of intelligent, smart people, lots of people who are in positions of leadership or kind of famous people or influencers, lots of them reject Jesus. And sometimes that's a bit like, are they smarter than us? But it's normal. Don't be discouraged that you're not very intelligent. It's not about that. If you've got the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you've got an advantage over everyone else. Don't look anywhere else for wisdom. This is the place to go. God's light, God's Word is light, which helps us to walk wisely in God's world. But notice how this doesn't come from a casual skim reading. What does he say? Look at verse 97 and 99. What's the thing that is repeated there? Have a look down. 97, 99. What's the thing that's repeated? What does he do? He says, "I meditate." Yeah, it's that word again. It's that slow cooker word. Or that kebab. That's what we were talking about last week, wasn't it? The turning over and over again in your mind. That's what he's doing with God's word. We've got a Greek visitor today. He liked that kebab reference. Nice to see you, Odysseus. He's called Odysseus. What a strong name that is. Anyway, that's a side point. The point is, he says, look, this isn't going to come. This kind of light-giving wisdom, this understanding of God's word, comes through meditation, not clearing your mind and emptying it of everything, but rather dwelling on God's word, slowly chewing on it throughout the day. A lifetime of taking God's word into digesting it so that it becomes part of your bloodstream, so that it shapes all of your instincts. That's how it's going to come. That's how we're going to know which way to go. It's not just a reference book for like a manual. When my toaster goes wrong, I can go to my manual and try and work out what's wrong. I don't think much can go wrong with a toaster, can it? But you get the idea. The Bible is not like a reference book. Oh, I find myself in trouble. I need to desperately work out what the Bible has to say about this. We can do that. But better to ingest it so that it becomes part of us and shapes the way that we naturally think. The more you dwell on God's words, the more light it sheds on God's world. It's his world, so we should expect the words to be the thing that gives us insight. The more we hear his word, the more we'll be in tune with his will. Just like Jesus. What was Jesus doing at the age of 12? Someone tell me.
Sitting
in the temple, listening and learning. And it says, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When he started his public ministry, again, he amazed the crowds because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law, not like the guys who generally are considered to have wisdom, but he had the word of God and the spirit of God, and he spoke with the authority of God because he is God. The people asked, where does he get his wisdom from? Wouldn't that be good? I know Jesus is, we're not Jesus, all right? I understand that. But wouldn't it be good if people, when they saw us making decisions in life, they said, where does he get his wisdom from? Where does she get her wisdom from? The word of God. God's word helps us to know the right way and go the right way, and that's wisdom. It helps us to walk wisely in God's world. Secondly, and more briefly, is it warm in here? There's a few heavy eyes in the room today. Let's engage our brains and our minds and our hearts because we're listening to God's words. And the light of God's word helps us both to walk wisely in God's world, but also to not wander the wrong way. That's the second half of the stanza. Look at verse 101. Actually, someone stand up and read 101 and 102 nice and loud. Who's brave? Someone's going to get... No one wants to... Who's got it in front of them? Yes, Tyler. 101 and 102. Thank you.
I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me.
Thank you. That's good. Did you notice there in that second verse, the reason that he has not wandered the wrong way is because God himself has taught him. God himself has helped him to clearly see which way is good and which way is bad. What an awesome privilege that is. To be able to say, you yourself have taught me. That's like having a one-to-one tutoring session with the person who wrote the textbook. There's no one better to learn from. Proverbs 2 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. The Lord alone can give us true insight into God's word. If you don't have the Lord, it's not like you can just read this as a textbook or as a story and understand what it really means without the Spirit of God. It's not about how smart you are to understand what all of the words mean. It's more than that. The Lord alone can give us true insight. 2 Corinthians 4 says this. God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Only God can turn the light on and give us the understanding of his word. Father, Son, and Spirit. Father, in Matthew 16, Peter, he sees and says for the first time that Jesus is the Christ. So he's got it. Finally, the penny's dropped. And what does Jesus say to him? Do you know what Jesus says to him? He says, well done, Simon, you're the smartest of everyone. Peter, I knew that you were the guy who would work it all out. Congratulations, you can come into my kingdom now. That's not what he said. Do you know what he said? He said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Simon and Peter are the same people, by the way. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. If we are going to see that Jesus is the Christ, if any of us has seen that Jesus is the promised Saviour, the one who came to live and to die and to rise again in our place, so that simply by trusting him we could know the forgiveness of our sins. If we have seen that Jesus is the Christ, it's only because the Father has revealed it to us. As well as the Father, the Son is the one who gives us insight. Think of our Lord Jesus when he rose again. And do you remember, he took that walk down the road to Emmaus, and there were two disciples with him. And he started to explain the scriptures to them. And it says, their hearts burned within them. I was going to make like a silly comment there about Gaviscon and heartburn, but I won't do that. Their hearts burned within them as they saw the truth of what was about, as Jesus opened up. And later on in that chapter, Jesus is again with his disciples, and it says, let me read this so I don't get it wrong, it says, he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. Do you see? If we are going to understand the scriptures, we need Jesus, the Son, to reveal the scriptures to us. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2 verse 27. John is speaking to Christians and he says to them, as for you, the anointing that you received, i.e. the Holy Spirit, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. His anointing teaches you about all things. The Holy Spirit is our indwelling teacher. Now, of course, in the rest of the Bible, and even in that same letter, the Bible makes it clear that we do need Bible teachers, people who can teach us the Bible. But there's a sense in which we kind of don't. Like, if everything else was stripped away, the Holy Spirit would be enough. He would be the one who could teach us the Word, and who does teach us the Word. He is the best teacher there ever is. The one who is always with us. Even when it's just me and my Bible, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives me insight when I have no one else to explain what it means. He is the one who never gets it wrong. He is the one who shines his light both onto the Word and into our hearts. Do you know, we are completely and totally reliant on the work of the Holy Spirit. If it was not for the Holy Spirit, the words that I'm saying this morning would have absolutely no effect. They would do nothing inside you. But with the Holy Spirit, we can expect him to take those words and apply them to our hearts so that it changes our lives. That's his work in us. It's the Holy Spirit we rely on every time we open up the Word by ourselves. And if we have any understanding of God's Word, that is a miracle of the Holy Spirit working in you. Father, Son, and Spirit. We need God to give us insight into his words. And when the Lord is shedding his light, that's when we see clearly. And when we're seeing clearly, it actually becomes easy to choose the right way. I want you to follow this. We're almost done, okay? You're doing well. Just follow this logic, because this is a really important thing. Verse 104. Someone else stand up and read verse 104. Do you see how the logic works? Because he has understanding from God's word, that's what enables him to hate the wrong path. It's just logical. Because when the light of God's word helps us to see that this path over here, the path that sometimes we are tempted to go down, is toxic and it ends in death, well then there's no way that we're going to choose that path, are we? It's like, imagine I gave you the choice of two rooms. And in each room, there was a door. And in the door was a window, so you could see into the room. And you looked in both, but the lights were off, and they looked the same. You wouldn't know which one to choose, right? You have to go into one of them. But then I turned the light on, and you saw that in room number one, it was full of comfy chairs and cakes and stuff like that. And room number two was full of rattlesnakes and Man United fans. You would know which one to go in, right? It would be an obvious choice which path to take. There's no point rescuing the Man United fans from the rattlesnakes, by the way. They don't need it. You would choose the one that is obvious. And I think that's the sense here. When the light of God's word helps you to see which path is good and which path is bad, that helps you to make a good choice. All right? God's word is not, he is not a killjoy. He is not trying to ruin our fun. But rather, with his word, he is shedding light on how things really are, so that when we see clearly, we're not going to choose the path that leads us to ruin and destruction. It's loving. Don't go there. It's not a good idea. With the light of God's word, we can make good choices in life, because he shows us how things are. And that's why the psalmist is so keen. Doesn't he seem super keen to you? Verse 101. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I really want to obey your word. Why? Because otherwise it's going to end up with rattlesnakes and Man United fans. Verse 97. He says, oh, how I love your law. Seems quite keen. Verse 103. It's sweeter than honey to my mouth. How sweet are your words to my taste? I had a sweet honey macchiato this week. Very fancy. It was actually really weird. It was like I took the lid off and it was, I would say, nuclear yellow. It was a really odd colour. And it tasted nuclear sweet. Honey is a really sweet thing. But he loves the word so much that he says, I love it. It's sweeter than honey to my mouth. He loves it because he sees how God's word shows him the way to go. He genuinely loves God's word. He hates the wrong path because he sees how horrible it is, how offensive to God it is to walk in a way which dishonors him. And how wonderful it is to walk in obedience to his words. Just like the Lord Jesus, the one who is the true singer of this song, as we heard last week. But not only does Jesus fulfill the psalmist in that he sings this song, Jesus also fulfills this theme of the light-giving words. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He is the incarnate word who brings life and light, so that everyone who is with Jesus can understand the way to go. 1 Corinthians 1, Christ, the wisdom of God. Colossians 2, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ, who could clearly see what the wrong and the right paths were, even when he was tempted by the devil in the deserts. Christ, whose teaching was rich with Old Testament scripture because it was something that was in his bloodstream from an early age. Christ, who loved the sweetness of God's word like honey in his mouth, and yet he chose to drink the bitter cup of God's wrath in the place of sinners like us. And the light of the world was extinguished as Jesus died in darkness. But light dawned. Life reigned. Jesus rose and he rules. And now he sends his Spirit, who shines a light onto the pages of God's word and into our hearts. The God who lives in unapproachable light has shed his light on us. And so, as we seek to walk wisely in God's world, as we face decisions and we want to make good choices that are going to be good for us and for the glory of God, as we navigate dark and dangerous paths, as we look for clarity about which way we should go in any given situation, by the Spirit of God, let's take up in our hands the lamp of God, which is his word. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, which gives such clear insight and understanding. Thank you for how your word helps us to understand ourselves and the world that we live in, and points us to our need for a saviour. Forgive us, Lord, for when we trust in our own imagination, our own wisdom, when we're faced with big decisions. Help us to be those who cherish your word and who love your word and who digest your word and who have your word as part of our bloodstream, so that as we face big and small decisions, we would walk wisely, not just knowing which is the right way, but actually being able to follow with our feet, walking in a way which brings glory to you. Thank you for your kindness in showing us in your word the way that we should go. Please would you help us to listen and obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.